For the meditation this morning, I thought it would be nice to meditate on the topic of the precious human rebirth, precious human life, which was the topic of the talk the other night, Friday night's talk by Venerable Chodron. And I think we all found it a really wonderful, inspiring talk. And so good to spend some time meditating on these points. So this meditation is very uplifting, energizing, inspiring to use our life wisely in ways that are meaningful and beneficial. Also, it counteracts what neuroscientists call the negative bias of the brain. So they find that the way our brains work is we tend to pay more attention to negative things, signs of threat or danger, bad news, negative things that we hear about or see. So our brain tends to focus more on those, and then we can end up being freaked out, frightened, anxious, or depressed. So we can counteract that by focusing on positive things. There are a lot of positive things in our life. So, according to the Buddha's teachings, we are very, very fortunate to be human beings, just to have a human life, a human mind, human intelligence. So one way we can get a sense of that is by thinking about the lives of other kinds of beings. The Buddhism speaks of different realms, different kinds of beings, and some of these are incredibly unfortunate, such as the hell realm, where beings are constantly in pain and experiencing fear and anger, or the hungry ghost realm, where the beings are constantly hungry and thirsty and unable to find anything to relieve their hunger and thirst. So they too experience a lot of fear and distress and anger. And then there's the animal realm, where there's various suffering, such as also hunger and thirst and heat and cold and danger, because animals tend to kill each other and eat each other. And then there's also human beings who kill animals and use them for meat, for fur, for different body parts. So, as human beings, we are free from those kinds of sufferings. So, just spend a few minutes. You can choose one of those realms and think about what it would be like to be in one of those realms. And in addition to having the incredible suffering, physical and mental suffering of those beings, not having any opportunity to learn the Dharma and practice the Dharma. And if you find it difficult to think about those realms, you can just think about situations that some human beings right here in this world experience. For example, there are wars going on in certain places like Syria and Yemen, and people are almost constantly in danger of losing their lives from bombs or other kinds of weapons. So they live in fear, in danger, real danger. And there are also people living in places where there's a shortage of food. There's even famine. And so they sometimes have to go days without any food to eat and watch their children crying with hunger and be unable to feed them. So you could think of some of these extreme cases of suffering here on this planet experienced by our fellow human beings. And just understand how fortunate we are that we are free of those kinds of sufferings so that we can use our lives in ways that are beneficial for ourselves and others. So we're very fortunate to have a human body, a human life. But on top of that, we're also healthy, at least relatively so, physically and mentally. We're not experiencing any serious impediments to being able to move around and see, hear, speak, use our brains, which would make it very difficult for us to learn spiritual teachings and understand them and put them into practice. So this isn't the case for a lot of human beings. Many human beings do experience severe disabilities, physical and or mental, that would make it difficult or even impossible for them to understand the Dharma, the teachings on how to transform our minds, develop our minds, free our minds from obscurations, and bring our minds to the state of awakening. So contemplate that for a few minutes. See if you can recognize how fortunate you are to be physically and mentally healthy. Another advantage that we have is freedom and opportunities to learn the Dharma and practice it. So this can include just being in a world where the Buddha came. The Buddha appeared in this world and gave teachings on the path to enlightenment, showing us how it is possible to transform our minds and bring our minds to enlightenment, to awakening. And those teachings are still available. They haven't been lost or forgotten. They're still available. They're still practiced. And we have access to them. And again, that isn't the case for a lot of people. There are people living in countries where the government places strong restrictions on information. People are not able to access information as they wish through the internet, through books and so forth. They're only allowed certain information allowed by the government. And also some places don't allow religious freedom. People are not free to choose what religious teachings they learn and practice. They are required by law and or by their families to follow certain religions, which may not include Buddhism. So that probably isn't the case for most of us. We live in countries where we do have the freedom to read information on the internet, books, and so forth. So we do have the chance to learn the Buddhist teachings and put them into practice. And the government, our family, and so on are not preventing us from doing this. So you can think about what it would be like to be in one of those situations and how difficult it would be. You might go your entire life without ever having the chance to even hear a word of Dharma, much less put it into practice. So try to recognize how fortunate we are having the freedoms and opportunities we do have. And then another advantage we have is sufficient resources, food, clothing, shelter, medicine, access to doctors, medical care. Even though some of us may not have as much of these as we would like or even as much as we need, but probably we don't have to spend all our time and energy 24 hours a day just keeping ourselves alive, which is the case for some people in the world, which wouldn't leave much free time to be able to listen to teachings, study, think about them, meditate on them, and so on. So probably most of us do have at least some time in our day, free time, which we can use to learn and practice the Dharma and work on transforming our minds. And even in those times when we do have to work to support ourselves and our families, those also can be used to engage in Dharma practice. There's always some practices we can do even when we're working. We can practice loving kindness and compassion, keep ethical discipline, practice mindfulness. So there's many practices that can be done even while we're working, not necessarily on the cushion. So once we know Dharma and have the interest in practicing it, then every situation that we are in is an opportunity to further our understanding and practice of the Dharma. So contemplate how fortunate we are that we have the outer resources, food and so forth, and the inner resources to be able to use our time, use our lives in the practice of Dharma. So having a human life with all the ideal conditions, both external ones and internal ones, such as having interest in learning and practicing the Dharma, is said to be very rare. It isn't the case that every human being, all the 7+ billion human beings in the world, have such a life. So actually, just a relatively small minority of human beings do have such an opportunity, such a situation. So it's said in the teachings that having such a precious human life is similar to a beggar finding a diamond ring in the trash can. So it's something that almost never happens. It's like, you know, once in a lifetime this kind of thing would happen. And it's very opportune, because with that diamond ring, the beggar can relieve himself or herself from their poverty and have a much better life. So in a similar way, having a precious human life, precious human rebirth with all these opportunities, means that we can do so many positive things for ourselves and others. We can start creating the causes for full enlightenment, awakening, if that's what we wish to do. We can also start creating the causes for liberation, nirvana, freeing ourselves from suffering and its causes, if that's what we wish to do. We can also create the causes for fortunate rebirths in the next life, in our future lives, if we believe in rebirth. But even if we have difficulty accepting rebirth or those higher goals, we can do so much just in this lifetime that is beneficial for others. There's so many opportunities to help others, to increase our kindness, our compassion, our altruism, and also to find more genuine peace of mind and happiness for ourselves. Make our minds really positive, really satisfied. So there's many positive things we can do with this precious human life. So see if you can conclude the meditation with a sense of how fortunate you are and with the wish to make good use of this precious opportunity, both for yourselves and for others.